Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Well, it is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. We made it to the end of the week, a week that featured snow and started off with a disappointing output by the Buffalo Bills. And my goodness, here it is Friday. And I don't know how many people out there do Friendsgiving. Not to be confused with Thanksgiving, but we have a very big Friendsgiving celebration that is going to take place on Sunday, to which I am very much looking forward. And I want you to stay tuned because we will have a pair of tickets to give away to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra performance Saturday, December 14th. When you hear the music of TSO, that is when you call in. Although I have to tell you that there is a local band, Hit and Run, and they do that, they do that, I got to tell you, without the lasers, but pretty much spot on with Trans-Siberian Orchestra playing at the Armor Inn tonight. So you can check them out. So what do you say we do 3 hours of politics and nothing but politics? What do you say we do 3 hours on impeachment and ambassadors and javelin missiles and Raytheon and all that stuff? What do you say we not? Okay, once you've ceased your weeping, all right, now the politics, schmolitics, are you watching and are you listening to it? Is it just one big bore fest? Just a slow motion coup? I do encourage you, by the way, and this will be the only political statement I make. Somebody texted in on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, after the TSO giveaway, you should give audiology doctor visit giveaway. Yeah, you're right. They are definitely on the loud side, and you're absolutely correct. Thank you for that. But the only political statement I will make involves coup d'etats and how to stage a coup d'etat. And there is a guy, I brought up his name before. His name is Abraham Bolden. Abraham Bolden, the first African-American Secret Service agent. And he has an interview online, and he makes some very fascinating points about basically there's more than one way to overthrow a president. There's more than one way to stage a coup d'etat. And he, by the way, is somebody who believes that what happened to President Kennedy on November 22nd, 1963 was a conspiracy and was a coup d'etat. But I found it fascinating when he started talking about Donald Trump and modern politics. The guy's name is Abraham Bolden, B-O-L-D-E-N. And it's about a 20-25 minute interview, and it is it's pretty riveting. I should probably try to get him on the show at some point. Just a fascinating man. Older now, but he definitely has it together. So anyway, we have several things that we're going to get into today. I always say that, and then one topic totally dominates the entire afternoon. But we have several things I want to get into today. So hunting. So I want to hear from hunters. I want to hear from male and female hunters today. Because much like fishing, I don't understand hunting. Now, I am, okay, how do I say this? I'm very pro-Second Amendment. I am a pretty good shot. I've been told. So the legend is. But I have never had the desire to dress up, go out in the woods, and kill a deer. I've never had the desire to do it. My family, growing up, nobody hunted. Not even my uncle, who was into firearms, he did not hunt. I do not hunt. And I want you to explain to the non-hunting cowards, like your humble host, your correspondent on the radio, what it is about hunting that you love the most. So many of you are going to be out as the hunting season gets underway. And I would like you to explain to those who do not hunt, such as me, for example, the allure, the fascination, the joy, the sport of hunting. I live in an area where there is no hunting. And we have a tremendous population of deer. In fact, before coming into work today, I had a giant deer walking across the street. It was huge. It was a doe, I believe, a female deer. Doe! But anyway, I don't hunt. I've never hunted, and I will never hunt because, honestly, I just don't have it in me to put a deer in my sights and squeeze a trigger and kill it. But at the same time, recognize my hypocrisy in this matter. Because I'm not a vegan, I'm not a vegetarian, I eat meat, there is not a chicken or a turkey that is safe around me. As long as somebody else does the killing, the dismembering, and the butchering, I just can't do it. It's like even the Thanksgiving turkey, you know, all that inside, yeah, I can't. I just, just give me the meat. Just give me good, solid white meat. Or if it is a steak, give me a steak that is done and well done so that there is a minimum of meat juices. I said blood a couple of shows ago, maybe a month ago, and somebody said, "You idiot, it's not blood, it's meat juices." And he was absolutely correct. It's meat juices. Most of the blood is drained from your steak before you ever find it on your plate. So what to you is the best part about going hunting? Is it the fact that you're getting great meat? Is it the fact that you are engaged in a sport where you are basically trying to outwit an animal, a deer, with a very acute sense of hearing and a sense of smell? Is it trudging through the woods? Is it the hunting lodge with your buds, having some cold ones after, of course, a hard day trudging through the woods? What is it about hunting that does it for you? I am very curious. Never done this topic before. And I have nothing against hunting. It's just something that I don't do. There are many people I know who are avid, avid hunters, and they use the meat they harvest. It helps fill the family larder, if you will, and they happen to like the taste of venison, which is one of those things that, you know what, the more venison for you, that's great, because it's just something I won't eat. I'm a fussy eater when it comes to meat. I'm a little less fussy when it comes to vegetables. So explain to the non-hunting folks who are listening to the show, what is the allure about hunting? Why is that circle on your calendar for this weekend? I am very curious. 803-0930 is the telephone number. 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. What is the allure? What is the fascination? What is the joy of hunting? And again, I have nothing against it, because to be against it, I would have to be a vegan. I would have to be a vegetarian. And people who know me know that is most certainly not the case. There are two things that are not safe around me: French onion soup and chicken. Let's go to Dale, who is driving. Dale, you are on WBEN. Explain the allure of hunting to the non-hunters. Hello? Something weird is going on with the phones. I hope that this is not going to be a problem all day long. All right. Phil is working on it as we speak. So, yeah, tomorrow is a huge day. The economic impact of hunting in this area is absolutely, it's mind-blowing. When you consider the clothes, when you consider the firearms, when you consider the gas that people have to use to get to where they hunt. All right, so explain the allure of hunting. Here is Dale, who is driving. We'll try this again. Dale, you are on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Tom. Hey, first off, I'd like to say I respect you. You know, you're not a hunter. That's okay with me. I don't care. But I enjoy getting out into the woods. It's not always about the harvesting of a deer. A lot of times, it's just being out with nature and seeing some of the things that go on. Last year, I seen a buck, little tiny buck, chasing this big doe around. Would probably need a step stool to mount her. That made me laugh.
Well, I think we've all been there.
You know?
So, okay, but what is it? I mean, you could be in the woods with a camera and have the same experience.
But I also like to meet.
So.
And you can't eat a picture.
Well, be willing to give it a try at some point. But as far as the family experience that you had growing up, was hunting something that your family did?
A little bit. It was mostly I got involved with some friends. My uncle always hunted, got involved with him, and that's what carried me through today. My kids all hunt. They all hunt. My youngest tried it. He didn't like it. It was too cold for him.
Did he get a deer?
My youngest, no. He never harvested a deer.
Do you have a favorite hunting spot? Do you go to the same place year after year, or do you switch things up?
I go to the same place year after year. We have some recreational property that we own, and I go down there every year. We spend summers down there, so...
So at the end of the day or at the beginning of the hunt, you are emerging from comfort.
We have a comfortable camp.
Now, do you have a bunch of buddies with whom you go hunting, or is it a solitary pursuit with you?
My kids come down with me. My buddies each go their own way because they all have their own camps now. So, but we do get together and we have a chance and hang out and hunt each other's property and just enjoy ourselves.
You know, that reminds me, actually, of a question I wanted to ask, and that is, you're out in the woods, and the property belongs to somebody, and every time you drive in the country, you see those posted no trespassing signs. How can you be absolutely sure, once you start walking a little bit, that you are on legitimate hunting grounds, if you will, and not somebody else's property?
You get to know your neighbors, and you know where your boundaries are. And if your neighbors say, hey, you know what, I would rather you didn't hunt my property, I respect that, and we don't hunt that property.
What kind of clothes do you wear for maximum visibility so you don't end up being an accident?
I have a bright orange vest that I wear, and my kids all wear bright orange vests. All my hunting buddies have bright orange vests.
Now, describe, for those who don't know, like myself, describe the flavor of venison, and please don't say it tastes like chicken.
No, it don't taste like chicken. I compare it to a nice cut of beef if it's cooked properly. You don't get any of that greasy taste. If it's cooked right, a lot of people say, oh, it tastes wild, it tastes gamey. I don't get that, but it's also the way it's cooked.
Does it also depend on the deer you take?
Oh, yes. And what they feed on? Sure, it does. It does change the taste. A deer that's eaten a lot of, like, acorns or nuts like that will taste different than a deer that's been feeding on corn its whole life.
Wow. And it's free range.
And it's free range.
Interesting stuff, Dale. Well, good luck with your hunt. Most appreciate the phone call and your insight in hunting.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. It's a big story at WBEN.com. Saturday is a day most hunters in the region circled on their calendar. It is the first day of regular hunting season. Regular hunting season for all of Western New York. And traditionally, that is when a big percentage of deer are actually harvested because of the number of people that are in the field. Let's get, so what is the attraction? What makes you a hunter? What do you get out of it past the obvious meat? Here is Jeff on WBEN. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello, Jeff.
You can hear me well, right?
Excellently, actually.
Wonderful. Happy to talk to you. It's an excellent topic.
That's funny because I have a text. Please get Tom off the air. Do you hear the topic of his show? All of the things in the...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink... what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
News, and Tom is talking about what hunting does for you. Well, yes, that's what I'm talking about because we have a lot of people who hunt.
It's your show and not their show. I like that part.
Well, yeah, you can't please everybody. I could resurrect Jesus, Abraham Lincoln, and Lee Harvey Oswald for panel discussion, and somebody would call in a bitch.
I would enjoy that. How can I help you, sir? What would you like to know?
Well, I'd like to know the entire Jeff hunting experience and calling in from one of my favorite places, Marilla. I'm sure you've got some great stories, but the only problem, I'm going to warn you, in that you're calling in from Marilla, all I can think about right now is the stuffed peppers at Kodiak Jack's. And no, they don't pay me to say that. So how'd you get started, and how big a day is the first day for you?
It's been a family thing forever. I started with my dad, of course, with the other relatives. And sometimes it's a family thing, and sometimes it's a go-out-by-myself thing. It's a lot of fun. Whether I'm successful or not, I like to do it. It gives me great pleasure to be outdoors. It gives me great pleasure to watch the sun come up, listen to the woods wake up, and take myself against what's there.
Listening to the sounds of the woodpeckers in the field.
Occasionally.
Early in the morning. Yeah, I saw a red-headed woodpecker the other day. Made my whole week complete. Okay, here's a question. With all of the deer we have in Western New York, and cars seem to find them with alarming regularity, especially in Amherst and Cheektowaga too now. How often is it that a season will go by and you don't end up with a deer?
Well, you can't compare hunting deer in the field to the deer that are running in Amherst, which is a closed area. It's not the same thing. Different experience, different animals. You know, the does kind of train them. Many times people don't harvest. The success rate isn't all that high. People have a whole different view of what's actually happening. They're wily critters. They're set to survive. If they can see you, if they can smell you, if they can hear you, they're gone.
Now, are you somebody who stays on the ground, sir, or do you use a tree stand?
I'm grounded due to health conditions these days.
Understood. Hey, hold on, if you would, Jeff in Marilla, because I want to talk to you a little bit more about this. Tomorrow, hunting season opens, and thousands of Western New Yorkers and many folks in this audience are going to be in the field hunting deer. Explain to the non-hunter, that would be the voice you're hearing right now, explain to the non-hunter the thrill of hunting, what motivates you to get up at the crack of dawn, zero dark stupid, and get out there and begin your quest for a deer. How often are you successful in harvesting a deer? See, I have a very skewed outlook on it because they'll be sleeping in my backyard when I get home from work. They'll be walking down the sidewalk at night like regular pedestrians. The deer where I live are basically, I don't want to say they're like pets, but they are basically not real scared of humans and getting less scared every day. It would almost be unfair to hunt them.
And I say to you, forget the extremists. It's simple. No one hunts with an assault rifle. No one needs 10 bullets to kill a deer.
So the big question is, exactly how many bullets do you need to kill a deer? It's kind of funny. I took a quick look at some of the Twitterverse. And people, with everything happening in the news, Bowerly's doing a show on why do you hunt? Yeah, it's called knowing your audience. I don't do a show for bloggers. I don't do a show for other media people. I don't do a show for other talk show hosts. I do a show for this audience. I encounter every given week because I don't exactly go home and hide in the shadows. Hundreds of people every week. Do you know how many people I've heard talking about impeachment this week out there in the real world? None. Do you know how many people I've heard talking about Roger Stone out there in the real world? None. Do you know how many people I've heard talking about, oh, Michael Caputo turned his back on the jury at Roger Stone's verdict? None. There is a segment of the world that obsesses over political soap opera and over politics. It will do nothing but drive you crazy. It'll do nothing but drive you absolutely nuts. This audience is looking forward to tomorrow because it is the opening day of deer season. And if I was going to say you could go to Earl's first thing in the morning and check out the crowd, but that just isn't going to happen on Route 16 anymore. Tomorrow is the opening day of hunting season. What is it about hunting that gets you out there? Jeff is in Marilla. Jeff, I've got a question that somebody wants to know the answer to, and I'll be the one to ask. Does meat from a buck taste different from meat from a doe?
It can. If you get the animal and it's been fired up and it's scared and it's running and it's pumped up with testosterone and hormones, it doesn't taste the same as one that you haven't disturbed and you just drop cleanly.
Wow. In your lifetime as a hunter, how many deer have you taken?
I haven't really counted it.
Really? You don't like put a notch in your gun for every one you take?
No. put a notch in my shopping cart for a piece of foam beef I bring home from the market either.
No, that's a good point.
No, I mean, if I've got a really, you know, a really impressive rack, that's fine. I don't hunt for racks. I hunt for meat for the freezer.
Well, big racks don't exactly do it for me either, sir, so we're on the same page on that. Jeff, have you ever had any close calls when you've been out in the woods?
With deer?
No, with other hunters.
No.
I'm just curious. You know, I mean, my ex-wife's father had a place in Elma, and a deer slug went right through the kitchen window about 30 years ago.
Well, that's not a close call for me as an individual. That was someone who didn't show proper judgment in taking their shot.
Yeah, I mean, my point was, have you ever been mistaken for a deer and felt one whizzing by you?
No, I don't know many deer that walk on 2 feet. I'm a biped, not a quadruped.
But every year we hear about hunters getting shot accidentally. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
But you have to look at what the data tells you. And the data says if they're wearing hunter safety orange, not other things, which not everybody wears orange out in the woods.
I would wear flaming pink.
That's okay. Flaming pink would work. Yellow would work, too.
I mean, if you're going to hunt, make a fashion statement.
Yeah, I wouldn't wear a brown Carhartt coat with a white, you know, handkerchief hanging out my back with deer antlers around my neck for rattling. That would probably be a mistake.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, that's definitely something you would want to avoid. So is there anything else the non-hunters should know about you people who are going to be getting up at about 3 o'clock tomorrow morning and going out into the woods?
They're judges. They're doctors. They're lawyers. They're police officers. They're your neighbors. They're your family. And despite the image that the media tries to put on it, perfectly rational, reasonable people who enjoy, like the locavore movement, we want to go out and select the animal that we want to try to harvest. And when we harvest it, we want to wrap it and produce it ourselves so we can control the quality of the meat. And we want to cook it, enjoy it ourselves, and share it with our friends as we choose.
Well, I'm kind of curious. What kind of an image do you think the media puts on hunters? Are you thinking back to that documentary, The Guns of October?
Oh, that was a wonderful fraud. No, it's just that it's not always a positive or even a fair-minded view. You know, people go out and do things. There's just like anybody else on the road. Do we have a small percentage of people who are problematic? Yeah, we don't need those people out there. But everybody else, you know, they're fine. As long as they respect other people's property and don't intrude on people, it shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, all right. Thank you for the call. And if you are a hunter, do you people feel as though you are, in fact, stereotyped? Because dude is absolutely right. My friends from many different areas of endeavor and professions will be out in the woods bright and early in the morning, and they will be hunting. And they're not going to be drunk. They're not going to be idiots. They're out there to hunt. Let's go to Maria in Buffalo on WBEN. Maria, you are on. Hello.
Hey, Tom. Yeah. I have been hunting for about maybe 10 years or so. And I just wanted to tell your listeners that hunting a deer is awesome. And my husband is a butcher, and we love the meat. The meat is not gamey, is totally natural. These deer are out there eating grass and apples and whatever. They have no pesticides. They are delicious. So we hunt the deer for their meat. There are a lot of deer out there, and there's nothing wrong with hunting deer. I love it. It's exhilarating. People who have never hunted before may find that it is exhilarating, as I did when I shot my first deer. And I will tell you that gutting a deer is not pleasant. It doesn't matter. You have to do it. We know where our meat is coming from.
So in that your husband is a butcher, I presume you use pretty much every part, every edible part of the deer you possibly can with very little wastage.
Exactly. I love the liver. I love liver.
Do you eat it raw like Kevin Costner and Dances with Wolves with the bison?
No, I don't eat anything raw. I have to cook it. But you know what, Tom? I've been listening to you for many years, and I'm very well known here in North Buffalo. If you were to come into my business, you would see a 9-point buck that I shot several years ago. It was, and I could tell you a story, it was exhilarating. We love the venison. I have had venison for maybe 2 years in my freezer, and I can still cook it in a stew. It is absolutely delicious. It has no hormones in it. It has no pesticides. It's just awesome. I love hunting. I never was a hunter, but I'll tell you that the Mayan civilization from my birth date knew I was a hunter. And I just wanted to call you in because I've never gotten to be on the radio with you. I listen to you all the time.
Cool.
All right. And, you know,
Well, I just have one more question for you, and that is, do you have your own land in the country, or do you trudge off into the woods? And when you trudge off into the woods, you know, what okay. precautions do you take to make sure?
Over 30 acres of land. I have 100 apple trees in my backyard. I don't do it. I make cider from my apples that I sell back here in North Buffalo.
Which tastes like venison, strangely.
No, but the deer have all been out because I can't pick all the apples because there's so many of them.
So is it easy for you to make a kill, given the fact that the field is baited with apples for the hungry deer?
Yeah, it's great. I love to watch them. It's beautiful. And we don't overkill. We only shoot one or two of them. I have deer meat. I don't need to go. I have meat all I want. But I don't go killing deer just because I'm going to kill a deer and eat it. No, we're very conservative about our deer. And yes, you want to shoot a big buck? Okay, fine. Go right ahead. But we don't kill the small ones because we want them to grow up and propagate and keep our deer
population thriving.
Population growing.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a problem with all the deer that we have in the area. Thanks very much for the call, Maria. Good stuff. If we have any other lady hunters out there, it does not fit the stereotype. And if you are a hunter, do you believe that you are unfairly stereotyped in the media? When I was a little boy, there was a documentary, I think it was on CBS. It was called The Guns of October. And it was, from what I watched of it and from what I remember, it wasn't exactly favorable toward hunters. And it seemed to offer a very one-sided perspective of the sport of hunting. So anyway, deer hunters have had tomorrow, November the 16th, circled on their calendar as the first day of hunting season. And what is it that gets you out into the woods? Describe for us the thrill of hunting. Why do you do it? It's got to be, I would think, and I could be wrong, that it's got to be more than just the meat. It's got to be the thrill of the chase. It's got to be wondering, the anticipation, wondering if you are going to have a deer come into your sights. There's got to be so many adrenaline-producing emotions that go through you when you are a hunter. Not being a hunter, I need you to explain them to me. And in a bold fashion statement, I am wearing a Tommy Bahama Hawaiian pattern shirt with a big parrot. It's like a Jimmy Buffett shirt today, just to show my defiance at Mother Nature. All right, back to the calls. Popular topic, as I knew it would be, knowing all of the hunters who listen to this show and this station. Here is Neil in Forestville on WBEN. Neil, what is it that drives you to hunt? Describe all of the emotions and all the vim and vigor of the experience.
Well, I grew up as a vegan. Probably because of my parents' financial situation, but I love hunting. The first time I saw a monster buck, it shook me. I stood there in sheer awe.
How close were you?
I was just out of range. I had a shotgun because we were only allowed to hunt with shotguns a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
what do you use now?
And he was probably the most massive creature I've ever seen in my life. He gave me the look, took a couple steps, and then he was just gone. Within, you know, they could move almost 14 feet in one jump.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I wish they'd quit impaling themselves on the fences around cemeteries, but they can jump.
Oh my God, it's invigorating too. The physical. The physical things that you have to actually do to become a hunter. I mean, to be able to go up and down a ravine that's 100 foot one way and 100 foot the other way, to navigate that with a firearm. I consider it because I was never in the military. I was in the Boy Scouts and such like that, but I never had a chance to try to properly train myself with a firearm and to go into the woods and be safe.
Right. So, but you had to learn somewhere and somehow.
It was my dad who taught me, and some friends of mine that hunt. I didn't start hunting until I was about 18. So
how big a day for you is the first day of hunting season?
I don't really I don't get excited about opening day because, you know, the hurrah goes on. All the goonies go into the woods, and then they go about 2 weeks, and then they give up. I like after they leave the woods. I have my snowshoes. I mean, I go deep into the woods because I've been hunting a particular buck for several years, and maybe it's the line of buck, but his horns were like, this has got to be a world record. He was about a 12 point, and they stood up off the top of his head at least a foot. And I'm tongue-tied just talking about him.
Wow. So you are specifically targeting this one particular buck, or possibly the descendant of the one particular buck you saw all those years ago?
Yes, sir.
He is a marked buck.
he is a champion. And if I were able to, you know, I haven't taken a deer in the last couple of years because you only get one buck tag. And I've been trying to, you know, going after one particular deer. You leave yourself open to not getting a deer, but I'm willing to take that chance.
Wow. Well, what happens if two hunters spot the same desirable buck at the same time?
To the best man goes the championship.
I mean, if you both fire simultaneously and you each think you got the deer, if it's a tie, what's the rule?
Honestly, Tom, if somebody else saw this deer, the woods would be full. If I told people where this deer was located, they would be full of people. It's on state land, so I try to only hunt state land because I don't have a lot of property.
Understood. All right, Neil, good luck. Appreciate the call. Put us in the picture on hunting. Tomorrow is a huge day, and I remember doing a show with the Bulldog, Chris Parker, way back when, on the opening day of deer season, and there was a restaurant on 16, Earl's, and that place was absolutely jam-packed with people on the first day of hunting season. And these were people, as one of our previous callers said, from every walk of life, every socioeconomic strata. Hunting really does not know any boundaries. I don't think you can stereotype a hunter, but some hunters feel as though they are stereotyped by certain media outlets. I hope this is not one of them.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.